Hallelujah. So we're going to read the scripture, then we're going to pray for them. Deuteronomy chapter 11 and verse 8. Therefore, you shall keep every commandment which I command you today, that you may be strong and go in and possess the land which you cross over to possess, and that you may prolong your days in the land which the Lord swore to give your fathers to them and their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. For the land which you go to possess is not like the land of Egypt from which, hallelujah, you have come, where you sow your seed and watered it by foot as in a vegetable garden. But the land which you cross over to possess is a land of hills and valleys which drink water from the rain of heaven, a land for which the Lord your God cares. The eyes of the Lord are always on it, from the beginning of the year to the very end of the year. And that it may, hallelujah, let's read that again. And it shall be that if you earnestly obey my commandment, which I command you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul. Then, verse 14 and last, then I will give you the rain, hallelujah, for your land in its season, the early rain and the latter rain, that you may gather in your grains, your new wine, and your oil. I want to talk to you tonight about possessing your possession. But I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, I can take it. Oh, come on, tell somebody this. I can take it. Hallelujah. You may be seated. You've got to believe that you can take it. Because you see, if you don't believe, then you will never be able to achieve. Let's just pray for Neville and his family. Father, we come before you right now. Lord, Brother Neville and his family are not well at this time, Father. Lord, if anybody else, Lord, that we are not aware of who is not well also, Lord, we bring them into your hands and into your care. The Bible says that by your stripes they are healed. And we pray that the healing power of Almighty God shall be their portion. Bless them, heal them, and make them well in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. I can take it. When you understand that Moses wanted to draw an important conclusion from the brief review of the history of Israel, since God had designed Israel's past experience to bring about a moral education, it should have been plain to the nation that their experience in the Lord's grace or judgment depend on their moral behavior. Hallelujah. Therefore, they could prosper in the new land only by observing or obeying God's commandment. Hallelujah. You see, the strength of the Israelites was directly related to their obedience. It was not in their militant skill, but it was in their obedience. So the things that you receive from God is not in your natural ability, but is in your obedience to God. That's what it's about. And that's why I say to people that the walls of Jericho, when it came down, it was not the shout that brought it down. It was the obedience that brought it down. And if you don't believe me, when this service is finished, you go outside this church and walk around it and shout. And I guarantee you, they'll do one or two things. You'll either shout until you die, or the police will arrest you because they say you're mad. Because if God did not tell you to do it, it won't happen. So everything was directly related to their obedience. So the supernatural ability to conquer enemies stronger than they and the ability to live in the land was ultimately a question of ethics and not militant skill. So it was all about ethics. Will you do what God says? It was not the power that Israel had. You see, Canaan was not merely the promised land because God promised it to Israel, but it was also the land of promise. Because in the land, God would fulfill many of his promises relating to the grace and the gift of salvation for the whole world. So what you got to understand is that the militant skill that Israel have, it could not do it because the nations were greater than they. The nations had more power than they. But in order for me to trust God to take me into the promised land, I've got to make sure that God is qualified to do so. Let me put it another way. How many of you in here would allow me to fly you to Jamaica, I fly you to Africa, being the pilot of the plane? Raise your hand. So nobody would allow me to fly the plane. Why? Because you have never seen me fly in a plane. And therefore, if I'm going to fly the plane, you need to make sure that I'm qualified to fly the plane. So if God is going to take me into the promised land, I need to check to see that he's qualified. When you apply for a job, they ask you for your CV because they need to know your qualification. They are not interested in what you're going to do next year. Come on, talk to me. They are interested in what you have done. So if God is going to take me into the promised land, I need to check his CV to see if he's qualified. I will not just take it because he said he's God. Am I okay to work it? I want you to look at the person next to you. Just look at somebody next to you. If the person was to say to you, I am the son of God, what would you say? But you ought to understand that while Jesus was on earth, he looked just like everybody else. And then he said, I am the Son of God. And that's why John, you've got to understand that John, while John was in the womb, and Mary and Elizabeth got together, John bowed down and worshiped Jesus. Can I hear an amen? But when John was older and was placed in prison, he said, are you the one? Or should I expect somebody else? I know where I'm going. You just got to follow me. Should I expect somebody else? And Jesus said to them, go and tell John what you have seen. The blind eyes are open. The deaf ears are open. The dead are raised. So now he's showing you his CV. You see, in Deuteronomy 1-4, Moses was looking back. Because now he's going to look back. Hallelujah. From chapter 1 to chapter 4, Moses is looking back. And now he's checking God's resume. Because if God is going to take him forward, hallelujah, he's got to first look back to see where God have brought him from. So we've got to check God's CV. So his working experience from beginning of time, before time, hallelujah to Jesus, from everlasting to everlasting, he said, I make time. You see what I'm talking about? We're talking about God's CV.
Hallelujah.
So his working experience is that he has been working before time. Hallelujah. And he's also working in time. So it's a God who works outside of time, and it's a God who works inside of time. Can somebody say amen? And if we're going to trust him, we've got to make sure he's got the ability to do what he says he can do. So his ability is, he's all powerful. He said, I've got the power over the whole world. I call the earth into being. I spoke to the sun and the stars. Hallelujah. And everything that I spoke, it came into being. It means that I've got the power to do so. If he's got the power to hold the sun, then he's got the power to take care of your life. And that's why you've got to understand there is no credit crunch in the economy of God. There is credit crunch in the world, but there's no credit crunch in the economy of God. And that's why I say to people, credit crunch or no credit crunch, I'm still going to fly. As a matter of fact, the more the credit crunch comes, is the more I'm going to fly. Just to show you, there is no credit crunch in the economy of God. Or somebody ought to say amen. So we know that he's all powerful. And then we need to understand his previous employment. To see what he had done at the last job that he had. I know that he's God, but he ought to prove to me that he's God. No, nobody want to work with me. I'm going to work it myself. So he said, I am creator of the universe. I put the galaxy into place. He said, I form man. I establish the heaven and the earth. I spoke the word, hallelujah, and I'm currently holding up the word in my power. Hallelujah to Jesus. So God has got the power to hold up the universe. I need also to understand his education and his training. He said, I am that I am. I've got all knowledge. Hallelujah. I know everything about your life. There is nothing about you that God don't know. And that's why when you fail and you believe that you surprised God, you have not surprised God, because God knew you were going to fail, but he called you in spite of. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. You can't surprise God. I rang my friend yesterday and we were just chatting. I said, I'm just ringing just to say hi. I said, every now and then we need to surprise God. And he said, what do you mean? We need to just go to God and tell him how much we love him. Just tell him how much we adore him and don't ask him for anything. You know, like how the kids only tell you sometimes that they love you when they need something. And the moment they walk to you and say, Daddy, I love you, you could almost ask the next question, what is it that you want? And one day my daughter, Jessica, came to me and she just hugged me and said, Daddy, I love you. And then she walked away. And I'm waiting for the child to come back, but she never came back. I was surprised. So every now and then, we are just to surprise God. Oh, you're the rose of Sharon. You're the lilies of the valley. You're the bright and morning star. You're the fierce of 10,000. You're the Alpha and the Omega. You're the beginning and the end. You're the first and the last. You are my all in all. Oh, somebody give God some praise. You just tell him how much you feel about him. And then you don't say anything else. And he's waiting for you to ask him to bless you. But you ain't going to ask him to bless you. You just want to tell him, I love you. Hallelujah. Every now and then, we just going to show him that we love him. Every now and then, we are just going to tell him how who he is. And then the next thing we need to understand is God's character reference. He is love. He is the light of the world. He is life. He is wisdom. He is the comforter. He is the healer. He is the forgiver. So when you check the God character, hallelujah to Jesus, you ought to understand the God that you serve. He is able to bring you through. Can somebody bless the name of Jesus? And then his availability, he is willing and ready to take over your life. Somebody ought to give God some praise. His salary requirement, the work is paid for in your life. Everything is paid for by the blood of Jesus. So we've got to look back to see what God have done in the past. If God have brought you to the Red Sea, he can bring you over the Jordan. If God brings you over the Jordan, he can bring you into Jericho. If God brings you into Jericho, he can take you through the financial crisis. Somebody worship Jesus. Somebody bless the name of Jesus. God can bring you through. If God could raise Lazarus from the dead, your situation is not too dead. Have anybody got a dead situation? I serve a God who has got the power. And not only has he got the power, he's willing and able to use the power. He can speak to the sun. He can speak to the moon. He can speak to the galaxies. So he can speak into your life. And the next thing that Moses did, hallelujah to Jesus, from Deuteronomy 5 to 26, Moses was looking up. Every now and then you've got to look up, to look unto the hills, from whence cometh your help. You've got to know that somebody is up there, and all what you got to do is look unto Jesus. And the Bible said, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of my faith, whom for the joy set before him, enduring the cross, the God that you serve. If he brought you out, he'll bring you in. If he brought you from, he'll bring you to. Whatever he brought you from, he brings you to something better. Better is on before. And then the next thing from Deuteronomy 27 to 33, Moses is looking out. You've got to look out. Hallelujah, Jesus. You've got to look into the future to see where God have brought you from. Have anybody ever known what God have done? When you look back over your life 5 years ago, I cannot preach tonight. You look back over your life 10 years ago, and somebody said, Sister Beth, you were not going to make it. But now you can say, look what the Lord have done. He picked me up and turned me around and planted my feet on solid ground. They said you were not going to make it. But God says something different. When man said down, God said up. When man said depression, God said blessing. Somebody give God some praise. Whatever man says, God says the opposite. God said you can take it. Man said you shall die. But God said you shall not die, but live and declare the word of the Lord. Somebody to give God some praise. Hallelujah, Jesus. I want you to understand. You see, we have the promise. We have the process. And we have the provision. The God that you serve. If God make you a promise, not even death can take you. I said, if God make you a promise, how many of you understand the other day that how it is said that the plain land and the Hudson River, and they gave the credit to the pilot. It was not the pilot who was skillful. There was somebody on the plane when God gave a revelation. Somebody on the plane had a word from God, and the plane could not crash. The plane could not sink. But somebody had a revelation. Somebody need a revelation. And from revelation to manifestation, if God gives you a revelation, it then turns into a manifestation. It's about to be manifested. I wish somebody would praise God in the church. I wish somebody would worship God tonight. Hallelujah, the land you're about to possess. To possess means you need to enter in and firmly control. You've got to take control of it. Every now and then you've got to take control over your life and say, devil, I made some mistakes, but I'm going to shake myself together. I said, I'm going to shake myself together and take control over my life. You see, everything you need is already in the land. Whatever you need, God has already given it to you. I said, everything you need is right where you are. Can I prove it in the scripture? The Bible says that when Abraham took Isaac and placed him on the altar, and about to sacrifice him, God said, lay not your hand on the boy. And Abraham lifted up his eyes, and the ram was already in the thicket. When Hagar had was taking Ishmael, and the boy cried because the boy was hungry and thirsty, God opened her eyes, and she saw the well. The well was already there. She just didn't see it. So the blessings over your life is already there. Somebody missed an opportunity. The blessing over your life is already there. The house is already there. The car is already there. The job is already there. The husband is already there. The wife is already there. Your eyes just need to be open. Everything you need is already there. I read the scriptures. Everything that God has for you is already there. All you've got to do is open your eyes so God can show you. It's a land flowing with milk and honey. Milk and honey are natural process. All you need to do is take hold of it. God have got some things in store for you. And if you just open your eyes and see that everything you need is already there. But the fact of the matter is, we keep on complaining. We keep on whining. And we keep on whining. And God is saying, can't you see? You've got to take it. Hallelujah. I say, you've got to take it. It doesn't matter how well you can cook. If you cook the food and put it on the table and you don't take it and eat it, you will die. You've got to eat it. Hallelujah. So God said, I've given you everything that you need. He said, I've given you the ability to produce wealth. I've given you the ability to do extraordinary things. I've given you the ability to do whatever you want to do. But you've got to take it. And that's why I know God gave me the house. So I walk up to the house. Sister Benton, I keep saying, my God, I like my house. I have not even been inside us yet. But I just like the house. And now my wife thinks I'm mad. Because I've been to the house over 5 times. And I only found the house 1 week ago. Once I'm driving in that direction, I just pull up to my house. Just to see that nobody's doing anything wrong in my house. You have got the power. How many of you understand that 90% of people who are in prison were told by their parents, you are going to prison? 90% of people who are in prison were told by their parents, you are going to prison. And the same amount of strength that you take to say you are going to prison is the same amount of strength to say you are blessed and highly favored. Hallelujah, Jesus. You got to understand the land of Canaan is different from Egypt. The land of Egypt depends upon the river Nile for its fruitfulness. But by contrast, the land of Canaan depends upon the rivers of heaven. Hallelujah, the water that comes from heaven. You are to understand that the way you plant your seed and irrigated it by foot as in a vegetable garden will not work. It's a new day and God is doing a new thing. What worked 5 years ago will not necessarily work today. Hallelujah, Jesus. You've got to move with the time. 10 years ago, we used to have to send telegram. When somebody in Jamaica, hallelujah, died, 10, 15 years ago, they would send you a telegram. Nowadays, we don't send telegrams anymore. How many of you in here sent a telegram over the last couple of years? We don't send telegrams anymore. We go on Skype, we go on MSN, we go on Facebook. Come on, talk to me. We text message. We do all these things. Everybody got phone. Doesn't matter. Sometimes the remotest part of the world you go, somebody hooked on the side a mobile phone. They don't have food, but they have a mobile phone. Hallelujah, Jesus. What happened last 5 years ago, the way it is different now. Doesn't matter where in the world I go, I can hook up on Skype and still talk to the kids at home. It's called technology. And if you don't move with the time will move away from you. Hallelujah to Jesus. You ought to understand that what worked 5 years ago will not necessarily work in the church today. The church have got to move on with time. God said it's a new season. If God says I'm doing a new thing, hallelujah, and he's from everlasting to everlasting, then we ought to catch on to the new thing that God is doing. The Bible said forget about the past. God is doing something new. But you know, sometimes, oh, some of us haven't left Chapel Town yet, you know. You know, I'm talking the truth. Some people have not left Chapel Town. I don't mean where you live, Brother Millen. I mean the old church. Because all they can talk about is the good old days that they had there. Watch this. Anytime people only speak about the past, it's because they have no vision. Anybody that always speaks about the past have no vision. Because when you have no vision, all you've got is the past. Because if you've got vision, you'll speak about the future. But when you have no vision, all you have is what's in the past. But what's in the past is gone. Hallelujah to Jesus. We need to be able to look into the future. You know I'm talking the truth. Hallelujah to Jesus. Charles Dickens says, reflect upon your present blessing, of which every man has many. Hallelujah to Jesus. Not on your past misfortune, of which all men have some. I want you to understand that God wants you to know that you can take it. Hallelujah, Jesus. This is the word that God wants somebody to hear tonight. You see, for a long time, we have been sitting down there, and God have been telling us, you can do it. But we have not yet believed that we can do it. We need to come out of Egypt and get Egypt out of our head. When I used to pastor in Hitchin, they had a little church in a little hut, and it was there for years, and God blessed us with a new building, but all the folks wanted to talk about is the good old days in the old building. Rain was wetting us up. Things were falling apart, but they had some good times in there. I'm saying, yes, you had some good times in there, but how many of you understand you can still have the good times here? There is nothing wrong with you thinking about the past. Because every now and then we need to say, roll back the curtains of memories. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. But the fact is, when some of us roll back the curtain, we stay. You need to roll it back. Look at where God had brought you from and then move on and thank God for what he has done. Don't stay there. We need to be able to move on before you can take your possession of the land. Hallelujah to Jesus. You've got to be able to dispossess your enemies. The enemies, hallelujah to Jesus. There are all different kinds of enemies that surrounds us. But I want you to know that ultimately it is the devil who don't like you. I said to people that the devil don't like me and I don't like him. The feeling is mutual. We don't like each other. And the reason why I can say I don't like him is because my bigger brother whipped him. So every time that he tells me about my past, I tell him about his future. I said, my past is behind me, but your future is dark. You'll be bound for 1,000 years and cast into the pit. But I'll go to heaven and reign with Jesus. So he who have the last laugh, laugh best. So he laughs when I make mistakes. But I can laugh at him because I've got the last laugh. Hallelujah to Jesus. You see, all you need to do is love the Lord your God with all your heart. You need to obey the Lord your God. You need to fear the Lord your God. You need to serve him with all your heart and your soul. You need to walk in all his ways. You need to live in the word. And you know the good thing about technology is that everybody now can read the Bible. Even if you never go to school, you can still read the Bible. Buy it on CD. And if you're sophisticated enough, buy it on MP3. Hook it up on your ear, on your waist. Go for a walk. Turn on the thing. And they will read the Bible to you. You have no excuse to be ignorant. A couple in South Africa, the oldest couple in the world that enrolled in college, were 90 years old in South Africa. They had a son who moved to New Zealand, and the cheapest way to communicate was via email, but they did not know anything about computer, so they went to college at the age of 90. Now they're not just doing email, they're doing PowerPoint and Excel. So you're not too old. In the Caribbean, we used to say, me old, but me no call. You're as young as you feel. How many of you know the only part of your body that does not get old if it is kept active is your brain? The brain will never get old as long as you keep on using it. Hallelujah to Jesus. And you ought to be able to continue to use your brain. We have God channel. We have every sort of thing that we can need. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, you can put the Bible on your mobile phone. And it can read it to you. So you have no excuse not to read the word of God. I'm here to tell you, you've got to believe God and be able to confess. We've got to start confessing positive things over our children. Speak positive over our children. Tell them, don't make the same mistake that your parents make. It would be a tragedy if the same mistakes our parents make, we make the same mistake. And don't instill in our kids that you can achieve anything. Listen to me as I close. We can't use slavery anymore. Slavery has been abolished for hundreds of years. We can't use the fact that because we're black anymore. It's a poor excuse. I was coming back from South Africa on the plane. And I said to the air hostess, can I have a room? I'm somewhere with a bit of leg room. She said, I'll try. She came back. And she said, sir, I found somewhere where you've got some more leg room. But I was sorry I went. There were four fat ladies sitting together. And they were so big that they couldn't sit in the same row. So they take out two of them and put myself and another young man in there. And I looked at him and I said, we draw the raw straw, the wrong straw. Because we had a little bit of problem with our legs. Now we are crushed. Can't turn left, can't turn right. And I'm saying, it's not fear. So now we have a bit of turbulence. And they are supposed to put on the seatbelt. But the seatbelt can't fit. So they got the extension. The extension was not working. So the only place they could fit was in first class. So they had to take them and brought them to first class. Then the young man and I had the fourth seat. I said, praise Jesus. The air hostess came 5 minutes later and said, sir, I'm sorry. I said, not another fat one. He said, I'm really sorry. Brought this other big woman to sit beside me. She couldn't sit down in the chair, so she had to sit and push her way back. Then she started to complain that the seat was too small. And then to make matters worse, the other ladies over the other side keep saying, oh, that's your sugar mama. Exactly what you say. They said, there must be something about you attracting all these women. So now we have a bit of turbulence again. She can't fit and the seatbelt won't work. So they ask her to move. She said, it's because I'm black. I said, no. It had nothing to do with because she was black. I didn't say that. Sister Clark said it. We use the black thing so much. She couldn't fit in the chair. And before she accepted the fact that she was a little bit oversized, or a little bit, or very proportioned, being politically correct, she said, it's because I'm black. And I had to say, no, darling. It's not because you're black. 3 year hostess is trying to talk to her and she will not listen. I said to them, leave her to me. Let me deal with her. So I talked to her nicely and she decided that she will move. But just as she was going to move, the turbulence stopped. So they said, it's okay, but if there's another turbulence, you've got to move. But there was no more turbulence. I'm going to show you something. Sometimes, traveling on mission, it's hard. I was traveling to Zimbabwe. One day, I'm going to close now. I was traveling to Zimbabwe. And when I was in Heathrow Airport, I saw a guy, really, really big. And the thought said, suppose he was to sit beside me. And I said, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. I got on the plane, sat in my seat, and he came right beside me. And we got talking, and I made the mistake to tell him that I was a pastor. And he was a pastor. So now he sits down, and he's asleep, and I'm sitting like this. And the people are saying, sir, he's going to kill you. Move. But I have already told him I'm a pastor and I know he's a pastor. What do I say? I can't say I've got to move because you're. So now when I go on the plane, I don't tell anybody who I am. But people, you understand what I'm trying to say? We've got to understand. God said we've got to take care of ourselves. It's your responsibility to take care of yourself. It's your responsibility to take your possession. Nobody can take it for you. You are the only one who can take it. If somebody else takes it, I prove it to you. If I give you my card, hallelujah, and you go to the bank and try to withdraw it, unless you have the PIN number, they will arrest you. Because you're trying to withdraw something that does not belong to you. But God says, whatever the situation in your life is, you can take it. He said, the land is yours to possess. If you believe in God for a house, buy the key ring. If you believe in God for a car, buy the key ring. You all understand what I'm trying to say? If you're married and you can't have children, buy the cot. But what's cheaper? What am I trying to say? You can move the hand of God. That's the church. If you believe something enough, you can achieve it. But you've got to start speaking it. It's not going to take you just speaking it one time. You've got to speak it until you yourself believe it. Because if you don't believe it, who else is going to believe it when you don't believe it? And I always say to people, if you come to me and you tell me that you want to go into business but you don't believe that the business is going to work and you need $100,000, I say go to Reverend Sims and ask him for the money. Because I ain't going to give it to you. Because if you don't believe in you, why should I believe in you when you don't believe in you? Step to your feet with me. Dr. Martin Luther.